Thank you. Okay, I'm going to read again, just for the sake of really the message and it's being recorded, the verse that we had from Colossians chapter 1. And this verse tells us again about Jesus, one thing. Of Jesus it says, well, it says two, but the one we're after. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. Goes on to say the firstborn of all creation, and the sentence continues. But he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. And we also read from Genesis chapter 1, which we've had as well, that God said, let us make humankind, a man, the body of male and female, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind, or man, in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So together, the image, male and female, that there is the image of God. Today's message is entitled The Golden Calf, and I'd like to subtitle that message Leadership in Meltdown. Leadership in Meltdown. In the passage that we've had, just in the in our children's talk, we learn about Moses being absent. He'd been absent for 40 days, and he'd come back down from that mountain to find lots of trouble. And in the meantime, they'd made this calf. This is the reading from Exodus chapter 32 and the first 14 verses. This is from the NIV, which is the translation we're using here. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They've bowed down to it and they've sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I've seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favour of the Lord, his God. "Oh Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." This is the word of the Lord. The golden calf, leadership in meltdown. When the people saw that Moses had delayed coming from down from the mountain, the people gathered round Aaron. They took the initiative. They said to him, "Come, make us gods." And we'll notice that immediately Aaron capitulated. He just did what they asked. The people said, "Let's do it." He did it. Once the prophet Jeremiah, many years later from this, had said quite rightly that the heart of humanity is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? So here's humanity created in God's image and likeness, and here's Jesus Christ, we know, the image, the true image, the we are sort of sinful, fallen image. He's like sinful flesh, but he's not. He's the true image, so that's the way we ought to be, and this is the way we are. But nevertheless, we still constitute the image of God. That's the image. That's the living people. Christ, the Father, the Son, and Spirit is the living God, and we're the living people in his image. So it's life and life, movement and life. And the people straight away corrupt that and make a still immovable image, just an image that can't speak, it can't do anything, it's just made of gold. And they say, "This thing here is the image of God." The entire program of God's giving life to the world and plan to bring redeeming life through this particular group of people to the human race is at stake. This is a big moment. And it's a big failure. Here was a people who they've just only recently agreed to a new way of life under the rescuing, saving God. "Yes, we'll be your covenant people. Yes, and we'll be responding to your kindness. You've brought us out of Egypt. You've set us free." But now, so soon, Moses has been away. We read a bit earlier, he'd been 40 days up on the mountain. He took Joshua with him, and he was there, and they'd become impatient in 40 days. Have you managed to do that sometimes? 40 days? Long enough. Right, let's fix it ourselves. They're impatient. Moses is on the mountain. Paul said, "Love is patient." This is the patient God creating for himself a new people. So Aaron, verse 2 we read, Aaron said to them, "Take off your gold rings and the rings that are on your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." It's the ear they're meant to be hearing God's word through. They're meant to be receiving and listening to the living God speaking to them, but they don't want something through their ear. They want to see something. They want an image. They want something they can get a handle on. Here we have the leadership from Aaron. That is, one of the commentators, Alec Mottier, described this as criminally feeble. Leadership that is criminally feeble. Have you seen any of that anywhere lately? Criminally feeble leadership. And human beings have been given co-regency. That means, you know, God is king, but we've been given co-leadership of all the earth. Psalm 8 says he's put everything under our feet, all ox and cow. Well, ox get a mention, but the cattle and sheep, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, everything's been put under the dominion of the human race to care for, to head up, to give leadership to. And here we are with this leadership immediately or quickly, not showing true leadership. And I said it's gold that's in meltdown, but it's really leadership here in meltdown. And it's just not Aaron. Let me read a little more. We should have faith. You and I should have faith about the leadership of the world. There's not a Moses so much on a mountain, but there's an ascended new Moses who's currently the reigning Lord and is leading, and we're patiently waiting for his coming appearing, and he is leading his human race, and we should have faith, and we should have hope, and we should exercise leadership on behalf of and together with the living Christ Jesus, who is the true man leading the human race and the creation in the way it's going. Nevertheless, it's leadership in meltdown. It easily capitulates to the godless views around. The godless views of the other nations, they're all idols. They're not living gods. They have the one true God, and they've capitulated to the same sort of God. We should set our eyes upon the true leader. But Aaron, not only Aaron, but if we look back to Exodus 24, verse 14, we find that Moses is setting out for the mountain with Joshua. They're going up. And there's this other group of leaders. And he says, we read, to the elders, he said, wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, there's two particular leaders mentioned there, are with you. You've got those two here. Whoever has a dispute may go to them. So not only that, but you've got the elders. There's 70 elders. There's Aaron and Hur. There's Nadab and Abihu. There's a group of leaders should be able to consult together about any problems, and that leadership should sort it out and go from there. But the people and the leaders are corrupted back into living by sight. We just want to, this is all we can see, what are we going to do? Instead of living by faith and waiting from that spoken word to them. So often people want to see something rather than living by hearing anew the ascended Lord speak. A leader who's leading us onward, a patient leader, the victor already over sin and death, he has got it conquered. All the powers of evil, he's got it conquered. Verse 3. So all the people took off the gold from their ears, brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mould and cast an image of a calf. And they said, these are your gods. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served a thing they'd made rather than the creator who made everything. So that's what essentially idolatry is to worship a thing and invest your confidence in a thing that can't do a thing about anything. These are your gods. They exchanged the truth and they went for the lie. This is what humanity's prone to do. The battle of faith stays with the truth. No, Moses will be back. Wait, hold on. Got any problems? We'll sort it out. Talk about it. There's a whole council there, 70 elders and some other leaders. Talk about it. The battle of faith versus faithlessness, which capitulates to the lie, the surrounding nations, the surrounding culture, living in the lie, rather than hold fast to the truth of God's word. It happens over and over again. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation. So he had some fresh preaching in his new way of worship. He says, tomorrow there'll be a festival to the Lord, not even to gods or anything. We're going to use this calf, and we're going to worship the Lord via the calf. What a mixed up mess. They rose early the next day. Whether they were eager to get started, I don't know. And offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people rose up to revel. Meanwhile, up on the mountain, and this is part two. So part A, you can see what's happening down below. Up on the mountain, the Lord says to Moses, go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They've just screwed up the whole thing and have been quick to turn aside from the way that I've commanded them. They've a cast for themselves, they've made into an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods. Recall how they agreed. God said, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Have no other gods before me. They said, yep, we'll do that. He went down and he gave them 10 things to do. And they said, yep, we tick off on all of that. Good. And then, so what did they do? Break the first one straight away. Bingo. That's the human race. That's the level of corruption that's in the unredeemed, the human heart that wanders from God's word. So the Lord says, I've seen the people, how stiff-necked they are. I hadn't realised what that meant. It meant like with a beast or an animal that you might use for ploughing, you put the yoke on it. And so if it's stiff-necked, I think it's not very, you know, malleable and it won't go. And Jesus said, my yoke, you've got a yoke, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So God would have given them, yes, there's a yoke, there's a bird, but these stiff-necked people don't want that. So he said, they're stiff-necked. Now let me alone so that my wrath... So he's going to work out he's not happy, but I'll consume them, but I'll make a fresh start with you, Moses. And then Moses has this prayer. This is the second part. This is a most amazing prayer, and I'm going to summarise it in five mini statements. Number one, don't get angry. That's what he says is prayer to God, don't get angry. Number two, don't give up on us. Don't give up on us. Number three, don't give the wrong impression to the other nations around that you just brought us out of Egypt to kill us. Don't give them the wrong impression, Lord. Number four, don't be inflexible. Surely you got some wiggle room there. And don't forget your word of promise to Abraham that you're going to make a great nation of us. So Moses makes these five prayers. And what do we read? And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he'd planned to bring on his people. Wow. The Lord's got prepared now to bring a new way, new confidence. But the next bit, which we're not going to read today, but I'll just tell you what happens. Instead of God getting angry, guess who gets angry? Moses, he goes down. He's fuming. The tablets are broken. There's a slaughter. Anyone except the Levites came to him. And everyone else, he was just out to wipe out the problem. And God had said to him that he would sort that out. He relented and changed his mind. But Moses' leadership's also in meltdown. He's that hot under the collar, he starts to melt. The entire leadership melts. No wonder we're still waiting. They have to wait for one who comes along, Jesus Christ, and his leadership does not go into meltdown. They try and melt him down on a cross. They try and crucify him and get rid of him. and they think they've done it. But that leadership stands on the third day, is raised from the grave, and a new image, a new humanity is born, a humanity with leadership. Friends, you've got a leader. He's Christ the Lord, and he's leading the creation and the church, and he is dealing with us wisely. He's dealing with us gently. The Lord is our leader. This little passage incidentally ends, and I'll let you ponder on this over lunch. The last verse, 32, 35 of this whole sort of section says, "Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they'd made the calf, the one that Aaron had made." Early days coronavirus or something like that. Whatever it was, something, a plague on the people. He was bringing them into some discipline, teaching them afresh in his own way, but not in Moses' manner. No. Friends, I just have to conclude today by saying that if you think about it, nearly all of the issues, hot-button moral issues, issues of leadership we have in the world today that oppose, say, the Christian faith or the way that the Lord's teaching us, strike at this plan and seek to distort or supplant and refashion and replace the body of Jesus. It's his body, his resurrection body. Everything's at stake on that body. That's why every child created in the image and likeness of God matters. It is the body of Jesus that's raised from the grave. It's the body that is the true image of God. That's what we're striking at. So that's why it's so tragic. And most issues are linked with that. Idols are dead. They can't speak. The true God is living. And he speaks. He speaks about his fellowship. And I just remind you of John's letter where he says, you know, we're writing to you so you can have fellowship with the living God. You can be living people. Live forever. Here's eternal life. And so on. And there's the last little thing he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. We can keep importing idols, images, ideas of how we think the world should go, how we think we should be, how we think the church should be, how we think society should be. And when it doesn't conform to our image, the thing we've got in our head, we can do our alley like Moses, or we can capitulate to everything around us like Aaron, or we can begin afresh and say, Lord, forgive us for not exercising true leadership. Help us to again follow Christ and stand up. Do you hear what I'm saying? May the Lord add his word, blessing to his word. May the Lord strengthen the church in its leadership globally, statewide, nationally, and locally and in your home and among us all. May the Lord strengthen us to follow him, and in our weakness, may we do away with our images and believe that patiently, patient love is the way to go. The living God will work it out. May the Lord bless you today. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, teach us to worship you, living Lord, through your word and not through the images or ideas we have. Lord, reshape us, remould us, conform us, transform us to be true worshippers by the renewing of our mind that we may do what in practice is the truth through Jesus' power, in his strength. Forgive us, Lord, for our failures to be your true people, and bless your word to our hearts today. In the name of Jesus we pray.